Now, if you're out on the roads, there's a bad oil spill towards Falcarra from the Donfanaghy side going on to Gorthawk and beyond on the N56. Don't get caught out. An oil spill on the Falcarra, towards Falcarra from the Donfanaghy side, and it goes on to Gorthawk and beyond. Your guests seem very hostile to AIM2's policy on the right to life. Does that mean they agree with Sinn Féin's policy of abortion up to birth, which is also well hidden in their manifesto? I hope AIM2 don't become the party. There was another party a couple of weeks ago, where if you've said anything negative about them, people got incredibly defensive. I don't think it's helpful. No, that's her opinion. That's her opinion, and she has a right to that opinion. I'm not sure what Sinn Féin's policy on abortion was. I thought they favoured abortions up to 12 weeks, but maybe if you say it's in their manifesto. A caller believes Sinn Féin get more scrutiny by the media, print and audio, much more than the other parties, in my opinion, even the voice tone of their interviewers. That's something I've noticed in the past, and I don't understand it. You will definitely hear a different tone to questioning of government ministers and certain media as you would opposition, and not just Sinn Féin, actually any opposition, which does make me wonder. It does seem a little bit strange. Try and be as even as you can. All that panel don't even know how good they have it. Just across the water, everyone pays very high third level fees, and it has increased even this year by the Labour Party. Left slogans like 100 years don't mean a thing. UK and America have thousands of years of the same parties. If they only knew how good they have it as students. That comes in from Jamie. Jamie, I get where you're coming from. If you look at the state of what's happening in Britain at the moment, it's not a country I would look to for comparison, to be honest with you. Following the resignation of Justice Justin Welby, Archbishop of Canterbury, over his cover-up of child abuse in the Anglican Church, will we now see an exodus of bishops here? I suspect not. In common with all aspects of Irish society, there's never any accountability for those in positions of power, be it politics or religion. Another, I believe that inheritance tax should be scrapped if someone decides to leave their property to a friend who's not a relative. Then that is their right. It is their property. And this gift could be life-changing for someone who could never hope to afford to buy their own. If the recipient then decides to sell, then that's a different matter. Tax them then because they don't need it. Of course, all the tax liabilities in that property have been fully paid. Your property tax, tax on the building, all the other stuff. It's not really your own property to do with if you wish, is it? I suppose, according to this listener, you gift it to a friend, they would pay very heavy tax in relation to that. And maybe they couldn't afford that tax, and then it would discourage such a gift. So I think that's what the listener's saying. Right, okay. Discussed this extensively on the programme last week. You will know the Department of Sport did not include Buncrana Leisure Centre as part of a recent round of funding. There was one funding announcement for Donegal that went to Letterkenny. Much anger in the local community. It triggered a public meeting on the issue in Buncrana last night. Now, Rosina McLaughlin is chair of the Buncrana Leisure Centre campaign and joins us on the programme now. Interested to find out, Rosina, how big was the turnout last night?
Morning, Greg. It was great. Packed house. So,
what would you describe the tone of it? Were people angry, disappointed, nonplussed?
Yeah, people are very angry, disappointed and angry. But yet again, we're put on the back burner and there's really no hope at this point, you know? So, yeah.
Are people prepared to sort of roll the dice and see if the leisure centre might be included in, you know, the shorefront development and all that type of stuff? Or do they want the Department of Sport and the council to work together to ensure Buncrana Leisure Centre gets the same type of funding that was gifted to ATU Letterkenny last week or the week before?
100%. We need the funding. We need it now. There's the call for the regeneration fund, the re-empowering Buncrana, that may not come out for 6 months or more. Then there's an application process. Then there's a decision. So you're talking of a delay of maybe another 2 years. And there may not be enough money in that fund to do everything. You know, what they want to do on the shorefront, plus the leisure centre. So that's just not a runner. We need the minister to find the money, and we need it now.
There
was a lot of people. There was a lot of people last night who signed up to help in a campaign to try and get the money.
Was it ever established if Donegal County Council had prioritised the ATU over Buncrana and Aoláisiú Centre? Because that was cited in a press release from Minister Charlie McConlogue as one of the deciding factors, that it was the council's preference project. Was there any? Has there been any clarity since we last spoken, or indeed at the meeting, in relation to that?
Yes, we believe that as fact. The executive of the council were asked to prioritise, and we were number two.
Okay.
ATU needs the money, and we're delighted for them. We're not, you know, we're not annoyed about that at all. We're annoyed that we didn't get it also.
Yeah. Oh, no, and by the way, just to be clear, I'm not trying to pitch one project against the other, but if that was a determining factor, I'm just curious as to if it was confirmed that that indeed was the case. So, politically, was the government represented at the meeting? Did anyone speak on behalf of the state? Not the state, on behalf of the government?
Well, Minister McConnell goes there.
Right, okay.
He spoke at length about and has pledged to get us some money. So, you know, it's coming up to election time. Now's the time. Warwick McLaughlin was there, representatives of some council members, Joy Beard, Shannon from Fianna Fáil. So it's up to them now to try and put the pressure on the government.
Yeah, and you got a commitment from Minister McConnell-Logue. He said he would make representations. I think he outlined the importance of the Department of Sport and the council working with the Leisure Centre Committee to secure the funding for the amenity. But I mean, was there any indication given as to politically what can be done to try and further the Buncrana Leisure Centre case?
Well, we would like to ask the minister for a review. You know, they're saying that the fund is still live until December, so surely they can find the money somewhere. Excuse me. We'd like a review of why, after 9 years being closed, we're not considered a priority for a leisure centre in a peninsula of 40,000 people.
Talk to me about this campaign that people have signed up to. What's the story with that? What is the aim of that campaign, and where does it go from here?
Well, the people were willing to help, so they gave in their names. I would propose we meet with all these people quite soon and formulate some kind of a strategy. If we need to go to the door, well, then let's go.
I think you were about to talk about the different representations that were there, schools and what have you. Sorry, Rosina.
Oh, yeah. There were all sporting clubs, football, soccer, rugby. The schools, the principals of the schools spoke. There was a wide representation of people that need this centre. You know, like Sinead McLaughlin from Scarlisgon said about the children, she has to choose between classes, who gets to swim, who doesn't. Mm-hmm. They're far too long out of school by the time they travel to Derry. I mean, the ministers need to take that on board. The representatives of children with disabilities spoke. It's a terrible situation.
A caller says, I was at the public meeting for the Leisure Centre in Buncrana. Somebody in the council who's not elected prioritised ATU over Buncrana Leisure Centre, and nobody knows who this person is. How was this person given the authority to make the decision on where to give funding when they're not elected? How can an unelected person decide where taxpayers' money goes? I can understand where they're coming from. It is a good question. But the council really effectively, the decisions are taken by the executive, which is unelected. I'm not saying it's the executive made this call, but it is not county councillors that make the majority of the decisions in Donegal. So should we be surprised that a person or persons that we don't know was seemingly able to influence where this money went?
Well, we have that question too. You know, I mean, the councillors have been a great support to us, but there's no point in, you know, the question is there. Why?
And can I ask, Rosina, finally, did you get a sense, or do you get a sense, that this will be an election issue, that this will may perhaps might perhaps influence how people vote. We are in an election cycle now, in the mouth of an election. Is this a big enough issue in Inish Own that you think it might influence the outcome?
I'd say so. I mean, people who are out canvassing all parties, they're saying that when they knock on doors, the first question is, what about the leisure centre? Mm-hmm. So I'd say yes, it will. It absolutely will. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's a prime time at an election for somebody to get us this money. Yeah, now is the time, make it an election issue.
Right, Rosinis have been waiting a long time. Thank you for the update. Rosina McLaughlin there, Chair of the Buncrana Leisure Centre campaign. And Minister Charlie McConnell is more than welcome to come on and outline his position in relation to that as well. Hi, Greg. There was a public meeting on the Leisure Centre, or lack thereof, in Buncrana last night. The meeting really turned into people venting frustration after almost a decade, when it should have opened with a call to action, with an action plan. What was really frustrating is that the site in question is a brownfield and confined site. Given presently the councillors in LK rightly calling for the expansion of the Aura, it may be by the time we get our togs on, we too shall not have enough lanes. The other issue was the recent granting of funding mentioned in the vicinity of the site for the sports facilities with smaller footfalls. This was supposed to appease but had the opposite effect. That's from... Oshin there, he says the big ticket item with a circa 30,000-40,000 footfall left in the tide once again. None of our politicians, says a listener, are qualified to run a country. We need business heads to do the job. See, the government have suddenly remembered we exist. They must think we're stupid. That comes in from Ava. All right, we'll be back with our next guest, Kevin, in fact, after we take this break. Ken, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Greg.
Right, you've been sort of, I suppose, considering the election, the timing of the election, the run into it. What's your views?
One of the problems with the short campaign, Greg, is that the electoral register is not very accurate or not fully updated. And they've only given people 2 working days to actually either get on the register in the first place or to amend the register if the register doesn't show them as correctly voting in this election. If, for example, they change nationality. If they'd allowed the election date to drift out to the 6th of December, which is only another week, that would have given 7 working days for the people to get the electoral register right. So I do think some people will be not voting in this election, even though they're entitled to nominally, because they're not on the register. There's been no time to do it.
What we tried to do in the lead up to it, because we knew it was coming, right, whether it's the 22nd, the 29th or the 6th, as you mentioned, people could get on the register even without the election being called. But I suppose that's not how we work as humans, is it? We get the kick up the backside and then we rush to action. But you're saying with the short run in, people are going to miss out.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of examples locally. Just with a couple of neighbours, one lad is missed off the register altogether. And I tried to help him by saying, I'll do the application for you online. All you need to do is give me your PPS number. But, I couldn't get him organised to do that within the 2 days. So he will be missed off. And another neighbour, there was another one of these Irish citizenship ceremonies in September in the Dublin Convention Centre, 3,600 new citizens. And she was one of them. She changed from being a citizen of another European country to being an Irish citizen. Mm-hmm. So she should be entitled. But it's even worse for her, because to change nationality, you can't do it online, because you have to send to the electoral office in Lifford a photocopy of your naturalisation certificate. Mm-hmm. So it was actually physically impossible, with the Taoiseach not announcing the election till late on Friday. It would be physically impossible to post anything to Lifford by Tuesday. You'd have to sort of go yourself and hand it in.
Yeah, actually, it'd be interesting. So, and we got the details actually in the local elections. It will be interesting, and we might chase this up, to find out the change in the amount of people entitled to vote. Actually, you won't be able to make a comparison with the local elections, because more people can vote in that. But certainly between the 2 general elections, it would be interesting to see the change in the electorate. You know, how many more people now are able to vote versus the last election. We'll chase that up. Ken, you're of the view, and I think it makes sense. You think students like your neighbour and transient workers are most likely to sort of be not on the register.
Yeah, and the cynic in me would say that that would actually suit the establishment parties, you know. the likes of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil will have all their people lined up, you know, because they will have organisations locally and the rest of it. And I'm not accusing any politician of doing this deliberately, you know, but short campaigns always favour the outgoing government because the opposition doesn't have time to establish the narrative on issues they want to talk about. You know, they're always chasing the agenda instead of setting the agenda.
Yeah, and I think it's particularly disadvantageous for people, say, for instance, independents that break onto the scene. Now, if I had an intention to run for politics, to be honest with you, I would be trying to build up my profile over, you know, the 2 years maybe in advance of the election.
Yeah.
I think sometimes, and I think people do it with a good heart and good intention, but, you know, you sort of declare that you're a relatively unknown independent a week or two before an election, you know, you're fighting a losing battle just from the get-go. You know, people should sort of maybe try and do 2 years of that, become a community activist or label themselves as such, you know?
Yeah. I think you're right. And I think generally as well, I wish people would talk about the issues rather than the personalities. You know, it's very, over here in West Donegal, people seem to be voting on the basis of people, of a candidate they know, rather than, you know, what's the issue, you know, where do you stand on housing, where do you stand on cost of living, and so on.
Yeah. But the problem with that is, you see, I suppose, too, what you have to throw in there, Ken, is, it's about, should we really be thinking nationally, or is it the parish pumps? Do you know what I mean? Is it what might be delivered into our area rather than sort of what might feed into a national policy? I fear it's the former, that we kind of, you know, what's good for us in our area. That's why the Healy Raids are so popular, because they unashamedly favour Kerry. They make no bones about it, right? Whereas you'd have other politicians like Thomas Pringle, who obviously focus on local issues, but he will say that, you know, he has said in the past, unless it's changed, that he also has to think of, make decisions on a national level, not just for Killybegs and Donegal.
Yeah, absolutely right. I think it was Alan Shatter, the former Justice Minister for Fine Gael, who once said that, you know, we'll never get anything strategic done in Ireland as long as people keep sending to the Dáil TDs who have no interest in national politics. You know, and things like, you know, Sláinte Care and the National Transport Strategy and things, you know, these and healthcare reform, you know, can these things actually get off the ground if we're only electing politicians who will fight like mad to save one community bed in a local hospital, but won't give the time to, you know, get an NHS for all that would improve the healthcare outcomes of everybody in the state.
Yeah, good luck unravelling that one. All right, Ken, listen, lovely to chat to you. Thank you very much for your time. That's Ken Harper there. Lovely to chat to you listeners out there as well. And we've done a lot of that this week, which is great. A caller says, Letterkenny down through the years got everything. It's not fair, especially in a Seán who never get anything. Up to Charlie McConnell to show what he can do for them now. Very disappointed for Buncrana and in a Seán having a minister at the cabinet table who failed to deliver for Buncrana and fails to deliver for people living in dreadful conditions in houses. Well, two things in relation to that. I suppose, could we ever have a system whereby, you know, major government decisions are based on the whims of ministers from certain areas? We could lose out an awful lot in that regard if we had no one at the cabinet table. You know, you'd get nothing because the cabinet table would get stuff elsewhere, if that makes sense. So is that, I know it's a kind of obvious thing to say, and I get that, but at the same time, we can't necessarily, can we have national funding divvied out based on who's sitting at that cabinet table, or can we? I don't know, I'm just putting that out there. Secondly, in fairness to Minister McConnell Hogue, he would say he is delivering a scheme that is still being worked on. It's not good for everyone, but some people are getting benefit from that. A caller says, we need a Donald Trump-type approach to politics here in Ireland. He goes way overboard in a lot of things, but he's not afraid to speak out against departments and officials who don't perform. Here, we reward them. And indeed, and he's appointed Elon Musk to Department of Government Expenditure, which, and Elon Musk, whether you like him or loathe him, right, he's so blooming clever. He's the richest man in the world. I questioned his ability to influence the election. I think he certainly, with his hundreds of millions, did influence for Donald Trump amongst young men in general, and in the swing states. But The department that he's taken over is the Department of Government Expenditure, DOGE, Doge, which is a cryptocurrency brand that he endorses and promotes. Can you imagine being that clever that he's actually managed? And this DOGE cryptocurrency has been around forever, not forever, for ages, right? It far predates this. He's actually managed to secure a job in the United States government with the title DOGE, and he also happens to be a big promoter of DOGE crypto. I mean, where else would you get it? You have to give him credit. Who else could pull that off? Very refreshing listening to students talk. They are very interested and very engaged in their topics. They are informed in the policies of each party and don't fall for the Sinn Féin good, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil bad, etc. They're looking at all the manifestos. Good stuff. Yeah, indeed. Good morning, Greg. Great listening to the conversation with your guests there. Good to hear honest points of view. Another great interview with the four students. Very interesting to hear their views. Aoife from ATU said she'd like to see people in the Dáil who are not necessarily Irish. I'd call that treason. Okay, I think she means people who are have come to this country and now live here, you know, like similar to Irish heritage politicians working in the United States governments, for an example. We have a Donegal man who's a senator over there. I think that's what she's talking about. Treason. Okay. Aim to have 42 candidates standing in the election with almost 50% quotas of female candidates. Highest of all parties. That's what you call promoting equality and women's rights. Other parties take note. Right, okay, let me take a break. Chris Ashmore's just around the corner. We're going to be talking business, and there's more to come between now and midday. Okay, never a dull moment, Chris. You're right. Good morning to you, Chris Ashmore, presenter of Business Matters, the Highland Radio podcast for all your business needs. How are you getting on?
I'm getting on good. Getting on good.
Right, we'll find out what's coming up on the podcast, which is live for you right now. But first, let's catch up on some news. Pathfinder trade mission. What's this about?
Yes, this is a trade mission from the Northwest. So officials from Derry and Strabane District Council and Donegal County Council and a number of local firms, they're all in the United States. There'll be conferences and opportunity to get exposure for businesses, linking up with some experts over there, and it's all going to hopefully lead to a direct spin-off.
The council should have me over there doing a radio program.
Yeah, why not? Next year.
No, this is about the third or fourth one that I've futilely, if such a word exists, with no success, thrown my hat into. Well, anyway, sure, that's fine. Okay, it's one of those ones that we won't necessarily know how successful it is. It's long-term, isn't it?
Okay. And, you know, the ripples that come through and very difficult to measure as well, but let's hope it's for the common good. Yeah, yeah.
A new video and brochure being published. What's this about?
Yeah, now this is the Best of the Northwest Golf Collaboration, and Derry and Strabane District Council with Donegal County Council have got together with some local golf clubs and produced a new video and brochure to sell the area for golfers who are not au fait with what's on offer here on our great golf courses in this region. And so the other thing worth mentioning is, you know, generally the people who come here to play golf, they spend a few quid while they're here.
Yeah.
And it's a big market. It's a lucrative market. And there's still potential for a lot more visitors in this sector. And you know, it's a great asset that we have.
And it's such a significant market that when there were issues with flights, it actually, strikes and what have you, it actually did have an impact on the bottom line in tourism, such as the spend.
Absolutely.
Okay. And listen, I mean, we are blessed with amazing golf courses right across the region. I think the links courses stand out, but some great parkland courses as well. So it's an easy sell. You just have to get it in front of the right eyes. National Broadband Plan.
Now, this famous plan, it continues to be rolled out across the country and places all over Donegal. But just to let people know that amongst the places that now have fibre broadband is Rutland Island, just off Burtonport, and National Broadband Ireland. They've even done a little video all about it. So, you know, it's great to see that it's touching into very remote places, and of course it means people in these areas have access to the wonderful World Wide Web and
which they
all
also
that it entails.
Already do through Elon Musk's Starlink project. It's fascinating. Have you seen the string of satellites after they've launched that they're low in orbit? It really is
I've
a remarkable
heard about, no, I haven't
thing
seen,
to see.
I
saw them heading up Largy Brack one evening. It must have just been around the right time because they're at a low orbit and then they sort of go higher up into the orbit. And just this string perfectly... they're moving it. They've been released by the ship and they're moving into orbit. Just this string of satellites is really quite remarkable.
And we're going to have our home deliveries, of course, with our drones in the skies as well. Yeah. Balbriggan apparently is the place to be to get your pizza by a drone. Yeah.
That here, though, with how far they'd have to travel and blowing all over the place. I can see it happening in Letterkenny. But I've seen them before and they're quite noisy. And it seems that they hover over, you know, your front garden or whatever, particularly in urban areas, and they just drop it down on a string.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Looking forward to it. But is there pineapple on the pizza?
Well, there should be because pineapple belongs on pizza.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes,
no,
indeed.
No, no,
and I've actually recently been a convert to a bit of pineapple in a chicken curry.
With
a bit fruity, a bit fruity like myself. Right, okay. Energy efficiency grants.
Yeah, just to let people know, now this has been a very successful grant. Look, it's essentially to make your business more energy efficient, as the name suggests, but businesses with less than 50 employees can avail of this grant. To a maximum of €10,000, but significantly, the size of the grant, it was 50% support, and it's now up to 75%. So that's a fairly chunky grant. So contact your local enterprise office if you want more details on that.
Yeah, I was chatting to, I can't remember the gentleman's name, just off the top of my head. He heads up one of the big wind energy companies. And he's actually really a great speaker. He'd be a great guest maybe for your podcast. But he was talking about the amount of jobs that are available in wind energy. A lot of electricians and people with other skill sets are retraining through the ETB to try and meet some of these jobs. And they're tailoring courses now in the likes of Derry and what have you to try and increase the output of people proficient in the wide range of jobs that are available in the wind energy sector. Apparently, what I think Indeed is one jobs website, right? Mm. There's in excess of 100 jobs in that sector currently available, ranging from, you know, if someone wanted to reskill and not work outdoors as an electrician or something. But it's a remarkable area that mums and dads listening, maybe if your younger person is wondering what to do. I mean, talk about a career with a future there. And there are courses locally, I think, in Derry, as I say, ETB, have some initiatives.
ATU. ATU
I'm not sure
here,
if they've,
it does.
Do they have specific wind energy? Okay, I wasn't sure
it's
about
actually
that.
Mentioned this week in the Business Matters
really?
Program.
That is actually really quite remarkable. Okay, I didn't know that.
Your finger is on the pulse,
you're
Greg.
You're not going to believe who your first guest is.
Yeah.
Do you know who your first guest is?
I do,
your first
I do
guest
actually.
Is the man I was talking about.
Oh, really?
I swear to God, if I should never move again.
Well, as you said, good
that
speaker.
Is,
yeah.
That is absolutely remarkable.
And when were you talking to him?
I was talking to him up in Derry.
Right. At the energy conference last week.
Conference.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You got him right. He's an interesting character, isn't he?
Yeah.
He shoots from the hip.
Dave Linehan's his name. He's head of policy and research at Wind Energy Ireland. And now this is a guy who is an authority on the whole subject. Look, be it offshore, onshore. And I spoke to him during the week about, you know, the outlook for the wind energy sector and especially offshore developments. And he says Donegal will certainly have a role to play in the future.
And the Donegal coast in particular, you know, it has significant potential for floating offshore wind developments. That's a different type of technology to the type of technology that those initial batch of projects will be progressing. Floating wind turbines, they're not anchored directly to the seabed. They're supported by floating platforms. And there's a huge amount of research development activity taking place across our third level system right now. Indeed, Wind Energy Ireland is partnering with ATU up in Letterkenny on a number of different projects in the floating wind space. And that would be the technology, I suppose, that does in the medium term unlock that huge potential for offshore wind development along the Donegal and wider western seaboard.
All right, really interesting guy. That's Dave Linehan, not the gentleman I was talking about, by the way, but still very interesting there. And, you know, as I say, The reason why it's important to plan things now in terms of education, and I didn't, but it wasn't for me, is because when the crash happened, as you would know, Chris, there was never any talk of building houses. Housing construction ground to a halt and what have you, and people stopped studying things like architecture. And then as things started to come back again, there was
you
this
have
gap.
A deficit.
There was a
exactly.
deficit there. Yeah. But I think wind energy is a safe bet, forgetting about necessarily the politics of it, you know, the green and all that kind of stuff. In terms of a career, my word, it is there. Right, sorry. So also you were speaking to another guest. Who was that?
Now, on a not unrelated matter in terms of being green and green energy, I've been speaking with Ron Kerrigan, who's the general manager of the Ballyliffin Lodge and Spa Hotel. Now, they've had a considerable investment programme in the hotel, around €1 million put into various sustainable energy practices, everything from your LED lights to making their laundry more efficient. And they even have their own spring, and they're going to be taking water from that spring for use in the hotel. And they're on the shortlist for the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland's Energy Awards. And we can hear now from Ron Kerrigan.
It's obviously been absolutely fantastic for all involved. It's great that we're up for this prestigious award, obviously. Now, and it'll be the icing on the cake for us, really. The amount of work that we've done to date has been, you know, very considerable. We've put in a lot of work, and as I said, it'll just be great now to potentially come home with the award. But even if we don't, we're obviously already kind of reaping the rewards from all the investment that we've put in.
Yeah, indeed. Load awards being divvied out to in Letterkenny on Friday. I think the Letterkenny Chamber Awards are on Friday. Good luck to, obviously, the Ballyliffin Lodge and Spa Hotel in the SEAI Energy Awards 2024, and good luck to anyone who's in the running, including, I think, some of the team here at Highland in those awards on Friday night. But you have more than two guests. In fact, Darcy, you've got
a
three.
Bumper edition, yeah.
What's coming? Who's our third
And
guest?
The third one, I've been speaking with Anne-Marie McLaughlin of II. That's the Inishowen Innovation Hub in Buncrana. They have a big event there next week. And again, a great facility for people, maybe in a, particularly in the startup mode, to foster business development. And we can hear from her now.
So Inishowen Innovation, as you said, is a hub in Buncrana, but as the name implies, serves all of Inishowen. We've been open for in the new facility for just over a year now. It is it's a beautiful building, renovated and extended building on St. Orange Road. We have gigabit fibre broadband and a really nice productive co-working space that has privacy facilities, excellent coffee and tea, which are very important as well. And the goal of the hub essentially is to drive economic growth and job creation.
Right, there you go. Three brilliant guests on this week's Business Matters podcast. Dave Linehan, also... who do you have from Ballyliffin?
Ron Kerrigan.
Ron Kerrigan and Anne McLaughlin then. Anne-Marie McLaughlin. That's all available for you to stream right now, download, listen at your leisure. And it's also broadcast on the radio on Sunday, Chris.
That's right, after the 6 o'clock news on Sunday. And if you want to contact me, the email address is best. That's businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Did you ever play golf?
No, played a bit of pitch and putt, yeah.
Never got the golf buzz.
No, I didn't, but I think it's a great game. Quite time-consuming, but...
Yes, doesn't ruin a good walk, no. You wouldn't subscribe to that way of thinking.
Yeah, no, I think the fact I haven't done it now, no, I'm not going to take it up at this stage, okay. But I enjoy a bit of pitch and putt.
Indeed, it is good. It's the actual business end of golf, isn't it? Short and around the green. All right, brilliant stuff. Thanks so much, Chris Ashmore there. Business Matters podcast, as I say, available for you right now. A caller says, when will planning permission be made easier for those looking to build houses? Trying to get planning permission, it's so hard, says the listener there. It's always good, and I think the planning department with the councillor are open to it, is to get a site visit in advance, so you know, you get a good idea of what might or might not be permitted. I'm not sure if you've been down that route. Maybe it's something that might work for you. Anyone who is a teacher should not be allowed to stand for public office, as they have an advantage, as all the parents will vote for them, says a listener. The Minister for Education, Norma Foley, is currently on a career break. If she gets re-elected, she'll go on a longer career break. Career break should be 1 year maximum. Secondly, there's a shortage of teachers and young teachers try to go abroad. If that's the case, career break should be cancelled. Going abroad is a privilege. They should not be allowed to go. A caller says, I want to vote for Sinn Féin and independence for their redress policies, but in my heart I know their main focus will be border polls and returning the six counties. Financially, our country can't afford to add to the population right now. It's kind of interesting in that one of the criticisms I've heard of this election campaign is that there's very little talk of a border poll or reunification, which I thought was quite interesting. There's someone thinking that it will dominate policy. Toilets for transgender school children is the burning issue for many of the youth of today. Why are none of the main parties dealing with this important issue? So what do you mean by that? Can you text in, give us a little bit more detail as to what the issue is there? At the last local elections, canvassers came to our door. My daughter in her 20s answered, and she was asked if her parents were in. God, what a no-no. Anyway, they gave her leaflets for her parents and never even considered she had a vote. We have three young adult voters in this house. That's five votes. We encourage them to vote every election, and rightly so. You know what? Isn't it remiss not to engage? That could have been a vote, two, three, four, five votes in that house. Canvassers, take note. Right. Ailish Nicholas joins me now. Hi, Ailish.
Hello, Greg.
Happy World Kindness Day to you.
Yes.
Now, you are nominating your little daughter, 8 years old. Talk to me about her.
Grace is a very kind, hearted little girl, and I had been looking at a piece of jewellery in Higgarty's in Buncrana in July, and it was my birthday, and etc. I'd like that, but I don't need it, you know. And she said, "Mommy, just get it." And I said, "No, I don't need it. I have lots of jewellery." So her bigger sister was with her, and she said, "Do you have anywhere else to go?" And I said, "I might go up to Vodafone just to get credit or whatever." And when I looked around, she was emptying the contents of her purse onto the floor. And I knew she wouldn't have enough. So I went back and said to my eldest daughter, "I'm just going to pop up to the shop here," and I handed her some money, knowing that Grace was probably going to try and get it. And God love her, she had went up to the counter and bought it. And the girl had said, "Is this for your mum? I'll wrap it specially for her." So she said, "We got you a surprise." So obviously I was very emotional when she gave it to me. And I thought, God, she emptied out her wee purse because she knew I liked it. And she was a very kind girl.
Oh, and you couldn't put a value on that chain now. It means everything. It's priceless, isn't it?
Absolutely. It means the world to me. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Because the meaning behind it, and that she had very little, but she gave everything that would contribute towards me getting it.
And am I right in saying things aren't necessarily easy at the moment, so this was a real boost at a tough time?
A real, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, okay. She's going through a tough time at the minute, yeah.
All right, okay. Well, she's an angel. She's your angel,
yeah,
and she's amazing.
Yeah.
And we have this voucher for Century Cinema. I think she'd enjoy that. You can go out.
She would love it.
You can go out and have a bit of crack. Maybe you can take her or whomever might go and get the popcorn and all that kind of stuff. So
well done
to her, Ailish. We'll pass this Century Cinema voucher on to you, and you can decide what to do with it. But I think you've already won the lotto with her anyway. This is just a wee bonus.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Thank you so much.
No problem. It's our pleasure. What a lovely little girl. All right, take care of yourself. Thanks so very much indeed. Claire's with me now. Hiya, Claire.
Hey, Greg. How are you?
I am doing good. Tell me about Katrina.
I just wanted to nominate Katrina Galler. She is the bus escort on my little boy who has additional needs bus service to school every day. Katrina is just like a real life angel. We faced some difficulties the past year, you know, just the transition to school and everything was difficult for him. And Katrina just goes out of her way every day. Like, she has sensory toys on the bus for the kids, and she has trains because they're a special interest, and just helped every way to make this easier for me. And like, she just loves the kids like her own. She's just been a pillar of strength to me, being honest with you, Greg.
She sounds to me like her. Yeah, exactly. It sounds to me like the assistance. It's not just, you know, making your little boy comfortable and all of that. She's helping you too in this whole thing.
Yeah. Like, that's what I said in the message. Like, not only does she help the kids, but she's just, like, pull her strength for all the parents as well. And she's just so caring and understanding. And I wouldn't have probably got through that last year without her being that way and getting him to school for me. And he just loves her, like, and she loves all the kids, like, their own, like, her own children. And she's just, like... She, as I said, she's just a real life angel, and she goes above and beyond for all the kids and the parents. So she really, and as I said, she doesn't show kindness on one day. That was not one act of kindness. This is every day for Katrina. So
It must be. Really, I'd say it's a tough job too, Claire. It must be tough to sort of, you know, these people that do this type of work. You know, they've got their own stuff going on in their lives and all that type of stuff, but you have to turn up to work and you know, put the children first and put, you know, have the smile on the face and all that kind of stuff. It's amazing.
Exactly.
It's amazing what they do, isn't it?
Yeah, because every day the bus arrives here, the door opens, and between the driver and Katrina, you're always greeted with a smile, and like, my little one just runs out and like jumps into the bus now, so happy, and so happy with her and the driver and everybody. Like, and as you say, everybody has their own issues maybe going on, but when it comes to their own job, then like, she is just one in a million, and like, she's just always greets us with a smile and says, gets him on the bus, and he's so happy now going, and it's all down to her and
that
the
makes
kindness,
you happy.
And he just loves her. And that makes my life a lot easier,
so
and me a lot happier, believe me.
Do you think we should give Katrina a €50 voucher for Arnold's Hotel? Or do you think we should give her a €50 voucher for County Seat? Both fantastic things. Mm. One's kind of clothing, the other maybe lunch.
Might, maybe do Arnold's. Yeah,
shall we go to Arnold's? Stuff it. We'll go to Arnold's.
Yeah.
Okay. Brilliant
and
stuff.
And she can treat herself maybe to a wee bit to eat
exactly.
Or put her towards the night away.
The staff at Arnold's will look after her. It's a brilliant facility there. Claire, what a wonderful conversation. Thanks so much for helping us learn a bit more about
Thank
the brilliant
you so
work
much, Greg.
Our angel on earth, Katrina, does. Take care of yourself. Thanks very much indeed. I recently lost my wallet in the car park at Aldi Dunlow. Some very kind person found it and handed it into the store. They didn't leave their name, but I'm so grateful to them for their kindness. That comes in from Mary. I'd like to nominate Catherine Healy, Jack's guard buddy, one of the best many to name. Jack lights up when she visits or we meet her. It would be nice for us to return the favour. Marie said, I would like to nominate my daughters. One of them has been doing anything and everything, like putting money in Christmas cards and buying meals to the homeless on the streets. And my other daughter, who's been suffering with long COVID, which can be very debilitating, who is a fantastic mum and still works so hard in keeping children safe as part of her job. We're so proud of our amazing daughters. There you go. Hello, I just want to tell a story we seen yesterday at Apple Green near Boncrana. We were sat having a cup of tea and saw an older lady struggling with her car. Without having to be prompted, two young men who seemed to be on a break from work somewhere, grabbing food from the deli, went to help her. They went above and beyond, and during this time, so many people came over to help. It took them a while, but they got the car started. It was just so humbling to watch. In reference to the kindness, my son, 17, was out selling door-to-door last evening. He got tongue-tied on the doorstep. The kindly man who answered the door told him to take his time and he'll get it all said. My son came away from that man saying, that man is very good and kind, I have to agree. What an important story about the tiny little things, or seemingly little things, that we can do that can have such an impact on somebody else. Just a little bit of patience, a little bit of guidance, an emotional hand on the shoulder. Take your time, what you have to say. I'm in no panic here. And the son walked away, I'd say, shoulders out and stretched and feeling good about themselves. Well done to you. Siobhan Bates is with me now. Hi, Siobhan.
Hello, Greg. How are you?
I'm feeling kind. Well, I don't feel kind. I'm just feeling, full of joy at listening to these wonderful stories. We're talking about gifts.
All deserving.
Tell me about your gift, Siobhan.
Well, I suppose my gift comes from a different aspect in life, Greg. My gift came from a donor, and that donor donated their organs, and I was lucky enough to be one of the recipients. of the organs in respect of a kidney transplant, which was 25 years ago, there on the 2nd of November.
Oh, wow.
And I suppose, like that, the gratefulness comes on to that for my donor, Greg, you know, and I suppose that comes under the banner of organ donation for the act of kindness.
Indeed. What an amazing gift. And it's the individual, but it's the family too that sort of eventually get that final call. Do you feel... It must be, not strange is the wrong word, but there must be a draw to that person, is there? Because you're so forever intertwined, Siobhan.
Forever indebted. Greg.
Yeah, okay.
Forever indebted to that family for making that decision, Greg, for that, you know, that morning of that the decisions had to be made. Obviously, they were in a different position from me because they were actually making the decision for their, you know, through their grief and through their loss.
Yes.
And from that loss, you know, there was other recipients as well as myself, Greg, because I do know that I got the left kidney and another young fella got the right kidney.
Amazing.
And even through that, there was a friendship bonded from, you know, him being my other half, as he calls us, in Roman
right.
That morning. So I do know there was other, you know, other donations from that family, Greg, and that was their act of kindness, you
Brilliant.
Know. 25
years, 25 years. Now, the donor is anonymous.
25.
The donor is anonymous, so...
My donor's anonymous. Yes, my donor's anonymous.
50-euro voucher for county seat to do with what you wish for you. Is that
thank
okay?
you. That's perfect, Greg, and I appreciate that. And again, as I say, you know, it's a different act of kindness, I suppose, Greg, to what the other stories are, but it gets a message out there as well about the... You know, the kindness of the families, Greg, as well, and their time of grief and their time of need.
The importance of us to consider whether it's something we'd like to do, and if it is something that we'd like to do, to inform the family around us that that's our wishes, and we could also give the gift of life to others. Enjoy going into the county
exactly.
seat. They'll look after you.
Thank
and treat
you, Greg.
Yourself. You deserve
thank
it.
You
God
so
bless
much
you and have a wonderful day, will you?
Thank you very much, Greg.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And on that positive note, we'll say goodbye. We're back with you tomorrow morning at 9.